So we are continuing to learn this month Le'ilui Nishmas Nechemiah Zev Ben Aaron, month of Teves, and the Refuah Shleima for Esther Tova Bas Devorah, and we always have in mind all the Chayalim and all of the hostages. So we're continuing with our Halachos of Hafarsh Schala. We've discussed in the past, last week, what did we talk about? Oh, different types of donuts and things like that, pastries, right. So 2 weeks before that, really, we spoke about the idea of Tzir of Sal, and in that context of combining the different foods in baskets and things. So we spoke about the concept from the Rambam, from the Sifri, that you can have situations in which the bread only becomes Chayiv and Hafarsh Schala by the time that it's already bread. Usually bread becomes Chayiv and Hafarsh Schala from the time of kneading the dough, right? Shas Gilgal is the time when you become Chayiv and Chala, which is interesting because you're not actually going to have bread until later. But that's the assumption, is you take the chal already from that point because you're chai from that point. But there are times when after it's been baked, that's when it's going to come together. If it was baked in half a shear and you put it together with another shear, you bring them together, then you're going to take chal already when it's baked. Okay, so there are times where it's going to be taken later. But those are times it's going to take later because it only became chayiv later on, correct? Meaning the chal wasn't chayiv when you baked it, because you baked 2 pounds of flour. But then you put it all in one big box with a bunch of other 2 pound batches, and all of a sudden you have 10 pounds, so now it's going to be chayiv v'chala, right? Correct? So it's not chayiv until later, so you don't take it until later. But there is a case, a complicated and realistic case, in which a person forgot to take chala, and therefore they're not going to be able to have taken chala in time of in the state of dough. So if a person, for example, made a batch of dough, whatever, 5 pounds, a whole batch of dough, chayiv v'chala, and they forgot to remove the chala from the dough, then when they bake the challah, now they're stuck with a baked challah already, and they're going to need to find a way to take challah from that bread. Alternatively, or really the same case, just with an added factor, and probably even though it sounds more complicated halachically, it's equally realistic, or honestly more realistic, that this will happen. You'll have the same case. You'll make a batch of dough. You'll bake it, forget to have taken challah, and then you realize, oh my gosh, I didn't take challah, and what day is it today? Shabbos, when you're looking at that challah. So when you're looking at that baked batch, it's Shabbos. So that's a little bit of a monkey wrench in terms of taking challah on Shabbos. So I figured nobody has to admit to this, but has this ever happened to anyone, that you forget to take challah? It has happened to an anonymous person in the crowd, okay? One person, they didn't want to retain anonymity, though. I spoke to some anonymous people at home, and they said it's happened as well. But it's an interesting thing to me, because making challah is a whole production. Like, the whole thing is, it's so, like, elaborate. It looks really hard to make challah. I'm sympathizing, not empathizing, unfortunately. I'm sympathizing. It looks very hard to make challah, and it's a whole production. There's tons of, I don't know, there's a mixer, and there's a big bowl, and then there's the big cover that goes over the challah while it rises, and then there's the bracha card, and then there's the 16 tins of all the different challahs you're making. It's like, funny to me that we can forget, but once you get used to anything, you could get, you know, do by rote. So you forget to make a bracha, so now you're stuck, and it's Shabbos. So what do you do? So the answer, very interestingly, is something we spoke about way back in the beginning, our first week of Hilchos Challah, not in depth, but it's a concept you're familiar with from then. The concept is really going to come down to, the halacha will depend on the origin of the challah. Are we talking about Israeli challah, Eretz Yisrael dekha challah? Or are we talking about challah here in Chutz Laretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael? So let's go source by source and see what the halachos are and where exactly they come from. We've mentioned that the challah Chutz Laretz in general is different than challah Eretz Yisrael. The idea of challah, hafrashas challah, is a mitzvah d'oraisa, v'hayah b'achalchem milachem aretz. A person has to separate challah from the bread in order to make that bread edible. Okay, we'll talk about the details of that soon. B'li neder mitzvah Hashem, but that's the halacha of challah. That's a mitzvah d'oraisa, no question about it. However, once we don't have the Rov Yoshvei Aleh, once Eretz Yisrael is not occupied by most of the Jews, and on top of that, we're not in Eretz Yisrael, so in Eretz Yisrael, it's Derabanan, and Chutz Laretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael, is a double Derabanan. It has no relation, almost, to what exists in the Torah. We've seen the term before, Shelo Tishtaka Torah Schalam Yisrael, that in some sense, we simply take Chala and Chutz Laretz, that we shouldn't forget the Halachos, but we're not really doing the mitzvah. It's a dress-up. It's a mak challah. What do they do? Mak seder? That's what it's called. Like a mak debate, a mak challah. We're making sure we don't forget about it, but it's not the real thing. It's a double derabanan. So challah Chutz Laretz certainly is different than challah Eretz Yisrael. And because of that, the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Shin Chav Beis, we're going to do Shin Chav Gimel on your sheets, but the simon before that, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that there are many differences in terms of the levels of challah. Based on that, there are practical nafkaminas. Source number one in the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shin Chav Gimel, there are practical differences between the two cases. One practical difference that the Shulchan Aruch notes, and we'll read in the bold together here in source number one, Vimratza lechel tchila, v'achakach yafresh hachala. If a person would like that first they'll eat from the challah, from the bread, and then they'll be mafresh challah after that, b'chutz la'aretz mutter, that's actually permissible in chutz la'aretz, in the diaspora, mipnei she'ein ikara el midibrayim, because it's so far removed, it's not actually daraisa, it's so rabbinic, that in chutz la'aretz you're allowed to do such a thing. And the Ramah then qualifies, you know, that you, exactly how much you should leave over. We'll come back to that. But if you skip a line and go to the next bold, Aval chalas Eretz Yisrael lo yochal ad hayafresh. However, when you're dealing with challah from Eretz Yisrael, you can't eat it until you've separated the challah. So the Shulchan Aruch makes one thing clear for us. In Chutz La'aretz, you can take challah from bread even after you've already eaten from it. In Eretz Yisrael, you may not do that. That part's clear, correct? And you could see how that's going to start to help us in our case. But that part is absolutely, absolutely clear. One thing to note, it's probably obvious, but if I have a bread, if I have, you know, a wheat that grew in Eretz Yisrael and I make whatever dough out of it and then I take it with me on the plane to America, it doesn't change the status. It's Eretz Yisrael dough. So you still have the same halachos. Okay. So let's say you have this case. So it sounds good. So you could eat it and then you can take it. Why is that helpful? Because in the following case, you're going to be stuck otherwise. Let's say you made challah on Thursday night, Friday afternoon, and then you forgot to take challah. And then you're sitting by the meal Friday night and you take out your challahs from the tin foil and put them on the table and you realize, oh my gosh, I forgot to take challah. So now we're sitting by the table. We don't know if we should wash. We don't know if we could eat it. We're stuck. We don't know what to do. So we said before that there's a problem. You can't take challah on Shabbos. Why not? So the answer is the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Aruch Chaim Simin Shin Lamites that it's an issue. You'll see the Mishnah Berurah there. It's an issue of tikkun maneh. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to fix things. Literally speaking, you're not fixing anything, but spiritually, you're fixing the challah. Why? How are you fixing the challah? What's being fixed? So, right, wait, think of it as not edible, correct? The same way, let's say, you have trumas and maisers. So trumas and maisers is a mixture of truma, which has to go to the kohen, to the levi, whichever maiser and truma you're talking about, and chulin, which is the stuff you're going to eat. You can't eat the mixture. This is taking a stand on a machlokas Rishonim, but the way we're saying it, but basically speaking, you can't eat the mixture because there's stuff in there that is mixed together, and now the whole mixture is called tevel. Tevel means something which is basically, halachically speaking, treif. It's something you cannot consume, you cannot eat. So because of that, you're not allowed to eat it. Fine, I understand that. So I'll fix it. I'll take the challah on Shabbos. Says the halacha, no, you can't do that. Because now if you take a piece of that challah and you make the challah edible, it's as if you fix something. Like the same way you fix a bike, the same way you'd fix your house, you're fixing this challah roll. You have this in other cases as well. The Gemara in Beitza says that at least initially, but this gets taken away, but at least initially, the issue with going to a mikvah on Shabbos, a person being matara themselves, their tummy for whatever reason goes to a mikvah, it's mechzi ketikin mane. It looks like a tikkun, it looks like a fixing, because spiritually they're cleansing themselves, they're fixing themselves. So changing the state spiritually, a kli also, you know, if it was a tefilas kelim, should be the same issue. Again, initially, the Gemara has back and forth about that, doesn't end up with that maskana. Either way, that's the issue over here. So when you separate challah, truma, maisa, whatever it would be, that's fixing the food. Making it edible, that's going to be a problem on Shabbos. So you can't do the afrasha on Shabbos. So now we're stuck. The answer is no, we have an eitzah. The Shulchan Aruch told us, if you're Israeli, yeah, in Achanami, you're stuck. Okay, it's there's a lot of perks to living in Israel. This is not one of them. You can't eat the challah now. But if you live in America, and it's American challah, so you'll take challah from the challah on Shabbos. So much so, well, sorry, I said that the wrong way, sorry. You're now in a place where you're able to consume the challah because you don't have to take the challah first. If you're in Israel, you have to take the challah first. However, you're stuck that you can't take the challah on Shabbos. That's true in America and in Eretz Yisrael, correct? The difference between America, I just said that wrong before, sorry. The difference between America and Eretz Yisrael is that in Eretz Yisrael, you cannot eat the challah before you've taken, the word challah is confusing, but you know what I'm talking about. You cannot eat the bread until you've taken the challah, whereas in America, you can eat the bread even before you've taken the challah. However, in both cases, you cannot take the challah on Shabbos. You cannot be mafresh challah on Shabbos. So what should you do? So here the Gemara tells us, you have it in source number four, but we're going to come back to it. The Gemara tells us a din from Shmuel that the eitzah, the advice that we give, is that you're ochel v'holech v'achar kach mafresh, which means that you sit down to the meal, you have your challah, you eat it, you just make sure that you leave a little bit over. We'll see soon. You have to make sure you leave over, if you look in the source number one, in the Ramah that we skipped, this, the middle bold lines, you have to leave over more than just the amount of challah. You have to leave over, let's say a challah is, you know, this size. You have to leave over a little bit more than that so that you could take challah from it after Shabbos. But what you do is you eat the 99% of the challah roll, 90% of the challah roll. You leave over a piece of the challah. And after Shabbos, you take challah from that leftover piece. That's the halacha. So this is really important. If it would ever come up for any person that they forgot to take challah before Shabbos, they absolutely should be eating the challah on Shabbos in America, eating the challah on Shabbos, leaving over a significant chunk of the challah for after Shabbos, and after Shabbos to take a chunk from that chunk and separate challah from that cooked, from that baked challah. You would do that with a bracha. That would be a full hafash challah. You would do it with a bracha. And there's a question, maybe you shouldn't say, again, we didn't speak about this yet, but we should at some point, what bracha you make on hafash challah. People here say, l'hafresh what, challah min ha'isa? Yeah, challah min ha'isa. That's disputed. It's not 100% clear that's the bracha. But if it is, then challah min ha'isa means to separate the challah portion from the dough. This isn't dough. So that's a discussion whether you should still say challah min ha'isa, or maybe you should say, you know, baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech haolam shekein shamayim, lahafresh challah, not min ha'isa, because in that case it wouldn't be from isa. You have to ask about that. Okay, that's only permissible, again, in Chutz La'aretz. If you're in Eretz Yisrael and you come to that situation where you have Eretz Yisrael take a challah, you didn't mafresh before Shabbos, and you're sitting there on Shabbos, you're like, oh no, I forgot. Too bad, you're out of luck. You have to wait till after Shabbos to take the challah, and you can't eat it on Shabbos because you're not allowed to eat before you've taken the challah. You have to ask a shayla if it comes up, because there are certain tricks, kunsin, to get around it, but they're complicated and not they're case by case. Another important insight for someone who lives in Eretz Yisrael is you have to be extra careful about, you have to put all the shirim together, about the tzir of sal. Because let's say you cooked 2 pounds of challah and 2 pounds of challah, and they never came together, so they're both not chayav and challah. And then punkt on Shabbos, you decide to put them in the same basket. So all of a sudden, you just combine 2 challahs on Shabbos. Nothing wrong with that. Now those 2 challahs are chayav because they're above 5 pounds of flour or whatever, but now it's Shabbos. So now you've been chayav yourself in challah on Shabbos, but you can't be mafresh challah on Shabbos. If you're in America, no problem. Just leave it over to after Shabbos and take it then. But if you're in Eretz Yisrael, it's a problematic thing because now you're stuck with these challahs that you can't be mafresh from, and you can't eat from them until you've been mafresh. So in Eretz Yisrael, you have to be extra careful not to put together all the different shirim. Okay. So the Pizchei Tshuva quotes Achronim, who note that the Gemara at the end of Parak Bamed Ligin Masach HaShabbos tells us that every Erev Shabbos, a person should say to the members of the household a few different things, remind them to take care of certain things. One of the things you're supposed to remind them is you're supposed to say Hefrashtem Chala. You're supposed to say to the Balabasta, did you separate Chala? Because you don't want to end up in a situation on Shabbos where we didn't separate the Chala. So the poskim note that people don't really do that so much nowadays. It says in the Gemara you should do that, but it doesn't happen so much nowadays. So the Pizchei Tshuva quotes from some Achronim who say that's why. Because in Eretz Yisrael, I hear, in Eretz Yisrael it's an issue, but in America, in Chutz La'aretz, it's not an issue. If you forget to take challah, okay, so you'll leave a little bit over, you'll take it on Matzei Shabbos, you'll make the bracha, no one's missing out on anything, it's not such a big deal. Not such a big deal. So the practice sort of fell by the wayside because it wasn't really relevant. Based on that, Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, okay, but in Eretz Yisrael, it is relevant. So in Eretz Yisrael, you know, husbands should very calmly, kindly, quietly, you know, patiently be saying to their wives, or if the husbands make the challah, I guess the wives should say to them, you know, did you mafresh challah? It's a good reminder, and it's a healthy reminder, and it's an important reminder, because if they didn't, they're not going to have challah on Shabbos. So in Eretz Yisrael, it's important to do that. Some of the poskim say, the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Baal Tanya says this, that it's still important to do in Chutz La'aretz as well. Actually, you know, people should remind each other to take challah before Shabbos as well, because even if it's true that you could separate challah afterwards, after Shabbos, lichat chila, it is best to separate before eating. That's questionable why that's true, because it's the same hafrashas challah. Anyone think of a reason why it might be true that it's better to do it earlier on? Obviously, it's the normal for the mitzvah, but what other reason? Practical? Meaning you won't have to leave over more? Okay, let's say you have a big batch, so it doesn't matter anyways. Just practically speaking, why would you want to run the risk of forgetting to take challah? Meaning, let's say a person says, I could always take it after Shabbos. So then they forget on Shabbos and they eat the whole roll. Or they remember to leave over the roll, but then, I don't know, whatever, the cleaning lady throws out the extra challah before you're able to mafresh it. Or you leave over it on the side and the kid eats the extra challah. Like, you never know what's going to happen when you do that. It's a different issue, but it's the same issue we've spoken about in the past. We should always mention it, that people who take challah and then leave it over, you know, in the freezer and stockpile their challahs to burn, you know, like Erev Pesach or whatever with the lulav and the chametz. So that's an issue because it's very risky. I think we spoke about a story back then of someone who did that and had serious issues on Pesach. So this is similar. What do you, same thing, you know, you treif up a dish in the house. So you don't leave your treif of dishes laying around the house. It's not a good idea because even though you're going to set a cabinet, but then the cabinet is going to overflow and then the cleaning is going to move one of the dishes and you end up with a whole bilbil, a whole mess. So here, you want to separate challah early on. So the Shulchan Aruch Rav says, because of that, the practice to remind each other before Shabbos makes sense to do even in Chutz La'aretz, even nowadays.
But also if you have an issue of, let's say you say it right before Shabbos, you're in Eretz Yisrael, so you remind the person who made the challah, did you take challah?
Right.
No, I didn't, but it's 5 days before Shabbos. And now you have the challah, because you have to get the bimah for challah.
Right.
But now you no longer have melacha mishnah because you have broken the challah.
Oh, that's interesting, right? Meaning if you already baked it, you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that... Right. I think that probably still you would do it. Probably you would, you know, you forfeit the shleimus of it. It's a good point. Meaning you're going to be sacrificing on a different halacha. That's correct. But you'd forfeit the shleimus of the challah to have havash challah. Yeah. I mean, maybe you'll use it. Maybe you'll find another piece of bread to avoid that and have shleimus. But yeah, I hear what you're saying. We'll come back to also if we find out 5 minutes before Shabbos is a good point, or what about like after you've lit but it's still Tosefes Shabbos. So we'll talk about that hopefully soon. That really I think could happen. I mean, it happens to us in different ways all the time. Like there's always a light that's left on, or we've had like the stove left on that was pretty serious, you know, and it's Tosefes Shabbos. So it pays to take in Tosefes Shabbos just to be able to, when you mess up, you know, be able to still have time to fix things. So if you look in source number 2, you have the Rash. The Rash, if you recall, is the commentary from the Balei Taisus, the Rash Mishans. On Maseches Challah here. So the Rash understands from this din that we've been talking about that, you know, Chalas Chutz La'aretz, you're allowed to be Ochel V'Holich V'Achar Kach Mafresh, meaning you're allowed to eat from it, partake of it, even before you've separated Challah. He understands something very, very critical, very, very fundamental here. The Rash understands the Eina Tovela. So you look in Source 3, the Tur has the same language. He says that you see from this din that clearly the dough of Chalas Chutz La'aretz is not Tevel. We said before, you have a mixture of trum, we have a mixture of maaser. You can't eat it. It's treif. It's called tevel. That's the lashon for treif over there. It's something which is inedible, halachically speaking. So, but what you see over here is that that's apparently not true about challah, correct? You think it's true because it's the same as everything else. You have to separate. You didn't yet separate, so it's usher to eat, so it must be tevel, which is going to have tremendous nafkaminas. We'll get down to them. B'lina adu mitzvah Hashem. I'm sorry?
Therefore,
you can do, oh, so that we have to get to that. Good, very good, very good, very good. So, so it's if it's not, if it's edible, meaning if the halacha is saying you can eat it and then be mafresh later, clearly it's not tevel. Clearly it's not tevel. If that's the case, we're going to get to your question in a second. If that's the case, so then what is the pshat in hafrasha? Meaning, isn't the point about being mafresh challah, separating challah, that you have two things that are mixed together, one has to be given away, one has to be eaten, just like shrooms, just like maestros. So of course it's tevel. If you tell me it's not tevel, what are we separating? What are we doing over here? So some of the achronim say, no, apparently you're not fixing the dough. That's not what you're doing. There's a mitzvah of hafrashas challah. Why? In Chutz La'aretz, shelo tishtach ha'ketoras challah. There's a mitzvah that in order not to forget the idea of challah in general, true, in Eretz Yisrael it's tevel. In Eretz Yisrael, when it's a real mitzvah of hafrashas challah, that food is tevel. In America, it's not the real mitzvah. It's a mak hafrashas challah. We take it seriously. We're Orthodox Jews. We care about derabbanans also and double derabbanans. But it's not the real mitzvah, and therefore it's not real tevel. So neglecting to perform the mitzvah is really just that. It's neglecting to perform the mitzvah, but it's not that you now have something which is usher to eat, al pi teva, just as al pi halacha, just as a mashal, an example. So, you know, when you shecht an animal, so in some cases, there's a mitzvah kisui adam. You have to cover the blood. Why there's a mitzvah kisui adam, the time of mitzvah is interesting. One possibility, Rabbi Yosef Engel suggests, I think he quotes from the Kesef Mishnah like this, that we cover the blood because there's an isser to eat the blood. So covering the blood is like a siag daraisa. It's a fence on a daraisa level, on a biblical level, to protect us from eating the blood. So you cover the blood in order that a person shouldn't come to eat it. But whatever the reason is, you have a mitzvah to cover the blood, kisui adam. Let's say you don't do kisui adam. Is the meat treif? No, it's a mitzvah you're supposed to do, related to the shechita. If you forget to do it or you don't do it, it's a problem, but it's not a problem that's going to passel the food. It's not a problem that's going to trave up the food. So to hear, there's a mitzvah to take challah, shelo tishtachach toras challah miYisrael, but if you forget, you forget.
So wouldn't that be an issue of making a bracha?
Why?
Because if it's not...
We make brachas in derabanans all the time. Meaning it's still a takana, it is not the same mitzvah, you're correct. But, you know, Chanukah is a mitzvah derabanan. We make a bracha on Eros Chanukah. Kriyas Megillah on Purim is derabanan. We make a bracha on... So you're right. It's not the same thing, and it's the same bracha. But Chazal said you make a bracha on this derabanan mitzvah. It's only fake, you know, qua the Torah. I mean, deraisa, it's fake, but on a rabbinic level, it's a totally legitimate mitzvah. That's a necessary mitzvah we have to keep. Yes, so the major question is exactly that point, which is that it doesn't really fit with the other half of the statement. So now I understand ochel v'holech. Shmuel tells me that I can eat this bread even though I haven't taken challah. Why? Because it's not tevel, because we're in chutz laretz. It's not really on a deraisa level challah. I hear that. But then it's ochel v'holech v'achar kach mafrish, meaning you would eat it and then after Shabbos you're mafrish. Why? Just be mafrish on Shabbos. Why can't you be mafrish challah on Shabbos? Tikkun mani, you're fixing the challah. What fixing? There's no tevel here. You're not fixing anything. So the whole halacha doesn't make sense anymore. The whole avoidance of doing it on Shabbos doesn't make any sense. So this is a fantastic question. In source number 4, you see the Gemara, this is according to Rashi's interpretation of the Gemara seems to ask this very question. Avu de Shmuel Amar, source number 4, Beit Zadav Tes. Avu de Shmuel Amar, afilu gilgel isa me'erev yomtiv. Even if you needed the dough from Erev yomtiv, ein mafish menach halasa biyomtov. So you can't do the havrashas chala on yomtiv itself. Lema pliga de Shmuel ad avua. So doesn't it sound then like Shmuel is arguing with his father? The Amar Shmuel, chalas chuslarz, ochel v'holich v'achakach mafish. So Avua de Shmuel says that you're not allowed to take challah on Yantif. And Shmuel says, Chalas chutzlarts, ochel v'holich v'achakach mafrish. You can eat it and then take challah afterwards. So I don't understand. They're talking about two different things. One saying you can't take challah on Shabbos, or Yantif, same thing. The other one saying you could eat the challah before you take the challah. What does one have to do with the other? But now it makes sense, right? This is what Rashi says. Rashi says, what? If you see from Shmuel that a person can eat the challah before they take the challah, they can eat the bread before they take challah away from the bread, what does that show you? It's not tevel. If it's not tevel, Shmuel is saying it's not tevel, but Shmuel's father is saying you can't take challah on Shabbos. Well, why not? It's not tevel. The only reason it should be a problem is you can't take it on Shabbos because you're fixing the tevel. If it's not tevel, it shouldn't be a problem on Shabbos. So that's exactly the question you're asking. That's exactly our question, is these two statements seem to clash. They seem to not go well together. So the Gemara gives a cryptic answer. But with Rashi's explanation, the Chaznish talks about this, but the other Achronim as well, with Rashi's explanation, it seems that the Gemara's answer is, yeah, you're right, in Echanami, you are correct about the question, but it's sort of a low plug. Low plug in general, by Derabanans, means that there's a blanket rule, blanket gezerah. Low plugs make sense on one level. There's certainly sometimes where it seems extreme, but there are times in a person's life where it seems extreme as well. An example, just an easy example, so you know, when a kid is younger, you don't let them cross the street. So you don't tell, why don't you let a kid cross the street? Because you won't ride Rechmel on Sunday, you should get hit by a car, correct? That's the only reason. It's not because, it's not like what I thought when I was a kid, it's because my parents hate me. That's not why. It's not because we hate them, it's because we don't want them, it's because we love them, correct? So we want to protect them, fine. So you tell the kid you can't cross the street. It's age 5, so they have no business crossing the street. They can't cross the street. What if there's no cars? Can I cross the street if there's no cars? What's the answer? No, you can't cross the street. What do you mean? The whole point is that I shouldn't be hit, but there's no cars coming. Answer, low plug. Not because we're sadistic, not because we're trying to control you, but because that's a bad idea. It's a slippery slope to allow a child to decide when there are cars and when there are not cars. They'll make mistakes sometimes. Even if it's a far chance they'll make mistakes, it's not something you want to bargain with. You want to be very careful about it. So Chazal, in many cases, said there's an Isser Derabanan. Isser Derabanan always has some sort of reason, has some sort of ta'am. They could say a low plug where they say, and that applies across the board. Even if the reason doesn't apply, it applies across the board because there's too much gray area over here. We don't want people having too much autonomy because it could lead to bad consequences. So there's a low plug over here. Just like by Trumas and Maaseres, when you separate things, it looks like it's fixing something on Shabbos, and that's an issue. Even though by challah per se there's not really that issue, low plug, all these mitzvahs of hafrasha, all these mitzvahs of separation, don't do them on Shabbos, they're problematic. So in Echanami, it's true that it's not literally speaking tevel that you're fixing on Shabbos, but since it's similar to everything else, don't do it on Shabbos. That's what seems to be the answer to the Gemara, according to Rashi. Very fascinating back and forth. And again, it's the depth behind what we've been learning in this Rash and this tour, that there's no tevel on challah in Chutz Laretz. However, the other Rishonim, the Rush and Maseches Beitz over there, disagree entirely with the approach of the Rash, and he assumes that the Rush maintains that the Chalas Chutz La'aretz certainly does create Tevel, just like in Eretz Yisrael. Just like in Eretz Yisrael, when you have a mixture of Chala and the other stuff that you're going to eat, so too in Chutz La'aretz it always is Tevel. What's the issue with that? The Halacha is, you could eat it and then take Chala. How could you eat it if it's Tevel? It's Treif. How could you eat Treif? So the Darkei Moshe, which was written by the Ramah and the Taz in Shin Chav Dalet, I didn't put, interestingly, I don't know why I chose to do it this way. Oh, because he spelled it out more. In source number 5, you don't have the Taz, but you have the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim is a later commentary, which is a super commentary on, let's say, the Shulchan Aruch is the Shulchan Aruch, right? The Beis Yosef wrote the Shulchan Aruch. And then on the side of the page in Shulchan Aruch, you have the Shach and the Taz, who are commenting on the side of the page in Yeradeya. So the Prima Gadim wrote a commentary on the Shach and the Taz. So they are a super commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, and the Prima Gadim is a super commentary on them. So it's a super, super commentary. I don't know why there's no comic book about him yet. Such a super character. So the Prima Gadim in his Mishpatzos Zahav, which is the commentary on the Taz, here spells out what the Taz says explicitly already. I think I put the right one here. I'm not sure if I put the right Prima Gadim there. We'll see in a second. But what the Taz explains in the Darkei Moshe before him already explained is that since Chala is Derabanan, is completely Midarabanan, I think it's in source number 6. Just like, I think I might have put them out of order for some reason. So since Chala is completely Derabanan, Hafrashas Chala in Chutzlars is completely Midarabanan, so we apply a concept called Breira. This is a complicated concept, very, very complicated concept. We'll try to just bring it down to earth and streamline it. But basically, sometimes you could have a concept in Halacha, that's a debate if you could have it, but maybe you could have a concept in Halacha called Breira, which, you know, literally translated means choosing. What does it mean, choosing? It means that sometimes you have something which is ambiguous, unclear in the moment, but after time it will be nisbarer, it will be clarified as to what was true the whole time. So you have a mace in the room, and all the exits are closed, and then you open one of the exits. So the tumah is going to go out that exit. So when the mace was in the room originally, the tumah was, you had no idea which way it was going to go out. But when you open it up later, now you know it's going to go out that way. Do you look back in history and say it was always bound to go out that way? Is there such a thing as Breira? There are other better examples in the Gemara as well, but we'll use our example. You have a whole batch of dough. 6 pounds, a lot of dough. And you make a big challah out of it. Okay, you forgot to take challah. So now you're sitting, whatever, doesn't matter, during the week. And you're eating the challah, and you realize, oh boy, I didn't take challah yet. So you say, no problem, I'll eat the challah first, and then I'll take challah from there later. So do we say that if I eat 99% of the challah and leave over 1%, now, lima freya, retrospectively, and therefore retroactively, we look back at this challah dough and say, the whole time, this section that I ate that's now in my stomach, that was all chulin, that was all regular challah I was going to eat. And this tiny portion, this 1% left over, that was always the challah. That was always the stuff I was going to be mafresh. That was always the stuff I was going to separate. Historically, chronologically, it went this way. I ate and then I separated. But once I ate and left over that separate amount, can we now look back retrospectively and therefore retroactively and say, no, the whole time, this was the separated challah and this was the stuff that I was going to eat. Does that make sense? So the halacha says it depends. On a del reisa, we probably do not say that because it's more chamer. It's more severe, so we're more careful. On a derabanan, the Gemara says in Maseches Beitza that we probably would say breira. We probably would say breira applies, meaning we can look at things retroactively and realize that designated spot was challah all along. We can do that on a derabanan. Furthermore, says the Taz, quoting the Mahari Vayil, furthermore, which I do believe this is in source number 6, furthermore, we can say challah in chutzlartz even better, because we would say that on a regular derabanan. What's challah in chutzlartz? It's a double derabanan. It doesn't even have any relationship with deraisa. So for sure, vayter, we're going to say breira, and therefore, says the Taz, says the Darkei Moshe, says the Prima Gadim explaining these things from the Ma'ariv Vayil, like this. The Rush told us that you're wrong, Rash. It's a little confusing because Rush and Rash, but they're different. Rush is with a Resh Aleph Shin, Rabbeinu Asher, and Rash is just Resh Shin, which was, we spoke at last time, Rav Shamshin. Of sans. So the Rash had told us, you see, if you could eat it, obviously it does not tevel. And the Rash said, no, it is tevel. But if it is tevel, how could you eat it? So the Rash will say, no, you could eat it like this. Because if you eat it now, and it turns out that you took challah afterwards, we will look back and say the stuff you ate was never tevel. Unless, if you don't separate challah, this whole thing is going to be tevel. But once you do separate your challah at the end of the process, we will look back and say breira. We'll apply retroactively. We'll look retrospectively and we'll say, oh, the stuff that you ate was totally kosher. The stuff that you ate was totally fine. You did fine with eating it. You separated the stuff that was supposed to be separate, and therefore we'll look back and say you never ate anything that was inappropriate in the first place. So that's the halachic mechanism to get around the question within the Rush, that even though it's true that it does make tevel, but even so, we can get around it by eating through the challah, and by the end, leaving it over, and we'll say, lema freya, retroactively will say that it wasn't an issue in the first place. Correct.
Whether you're dividing it a priori and being like taking out that 1% and realizing, you know, finding it, navigating it then, or you're navigating it 2 days later.
Yeah.
You're always saying it the whole, like either way, both of them are saying it's not tevel because it's not.
Correct. So you're saying, meaning you're saying rash and rush, meaning there's no difference now.
They're both, it's not tevel.
Good, good, good. So I agree with you. It sounds like that. Once you get to the point where you've eaten and left over and separated, now there's no difference. For the rash, it was never tevel. And for the rush, it was never tevel now that you ate the challah. I agree. So is there any difference? So you're saying there's no difference now. Now everyone's saying the same thing. Maybe there's a difference. Two differences. One, following case. Let's say I make bread and I forget to do hafrashas challah. Okay? That's our regular case. And then I eat the bread. But I never remember to take challah from it. I don't leave any over. And I never remember to take challah from it. So same case. It could be Shabbos or weekday. It doesn't matter. You make the bread. You forgot to take the challah. You sit down and you say, oh, no. You don't say, oh, no, I forgot. You eat. And then you remember afterwards, oh, no, I forgot. And you feel all of that challah already in your stomach. Okay. So now, did you eat tevel? Who cares? Oh, whatever. You're doing tshuva on Yom Kippur.
Yes.
Oh, let's say according to both. According to the Rash, did you eat tevel?
No.
No. Why? Because this doesn't make tevel. According to the Rash. That's a different discussion. That's a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos and Masechet Yavamos and Daf Hei Vav, how tevel works, which is an important machlokas, but we're just not getting into it now. There's two possibilities. We were explaining like Rashi, but there's two possibilities. One is that you're correct. There's a piece of tevel, a theoretical piece of tevel, and everything else is just chulin. The other possibility is that the whole mixture is tevel by dint of the fact that you haven't separated yet. So that is a machlokas. It probably does not result in a practical difference in this realm because you get malchus the same way for either one. Did you have more of it or less of it? I don't know if that matters so much, but that is correct. There are two ways to conceive of it. But in terms of the nafka meaning, you understand. Meaning the Rash will tell you you didn't eat tevel. You don't have to do tshuva on that. We're busy with other things on Yom Kippur. We'll be okay. We're not going to be bored. But you didn't eat tevel. The Rush will say you did eat tevel because you never came around to doing that fancy halachic thing of breira and, you know, looking at it retroactively. Right? Okay, second nafkamina, and this one's even more practical. That one's more theoretical because we're just talking about, you know, doing tshuva. Very, very practical. Let's say I make bread. I forget to do hafarsh stala, and then I eat the bread, but it doesn't matter. I eat the bread, and then I take challah. I eat the bread, and I didn't take challah, whatever. I didn't yet separate challah at this point. Is there a problem with the oven? Could you imagine any problems with the oven over here? So the Rash will say, what are you talking about, problem with the oven? This is not tevel. The Rash, the Torah, source number 2 and source number 3. This is just challah that you didn't do the mitzvah of hafarsh challah. I hear, you know. You should feel bad that you didn't do the mitzvah of hafarsh challah. I hear that. But there's no treif. There's no tevel. But the Rash will say, what are you talking about? This mixture is treif. If you didn't separate challah, this is treif. Now, it could be, you could get out of this, if you end up taking challah, you say backwards, also the oven was never treif. That is true. You could say that. But at this stage, before you take the challah, or if you forget to ever take the challah, the Rash will say it was never treif. It was never tevel. Your oven's totally good. Some people just don't have an oven. That's a chumrah. Not all of us are at your level. That's a high level to not have an oven. But if you're going to already have an oven, you're going to have a treif oven. You're going to have a treif oven now. But says the Rash, we don't have a treif oven. There was never treif here in the first place. The whole thing was never tevel in the first place. Note, and this should be triggering thoughts in your mind, this also plot, yeah?
I don't understand how that works with Rero. I mean,
how it could be?
Yeah.
So it's novel and it's fascinating, but it works the same way. We have a let's just follow this someone writing a biography about this doe. So the doe was born on Friday, January 5th, and we needed it, and then we made a challah on Friday afternoon, January 5th. Shabbos afternoon, January 6th, we're sitting at the table, you know, commemorating Trump's rebellion or whatever, and then we realize, oh my gosh, we didn't, speaking of rebellions, we rebelled against God, and we didn't take a challah from the bread, so now we're all confused. So the halacha says you can eat it, ochel v'holich v'achakach mafresh, Saturday night, January 6th, we'll take the rest of the challah off of it, right? Okay, that's the storyline. So the Rush says, with the help of the Achronim, the Rush says, don't worry about the it's true it makes tevel, which means right now, if I don't end up taking chal off, my oven's treif, I'm eating tevel, that's really bad. That is true. But if you eat 99% and take off 1% and then take chal from that 1% after Shabbos, you will retroactively make this to have been always not tevel. Because it will always have been something which you were going to separate, and therefore from the get-go, from the beginning, it was a separate portion. It was never considered part of the challah. That's what the Rush is basically telling us. So it could be that applies all the way back to the time of the oven as well. We should note, this should set off alarms, this is all a case where we forgot to take challah, hopefully, whatever, some percentage of the time, 90% of the time, we don't forget to, take challah. Forget Teicha. 90%, I can't remember that. 90% today I wanted to, usually I do like a, try to do a punny title. I don't know, my brain wasn't working. Usually the way I give shiurim, by the way, I don't know if I ever shared this with you, is I come up with a title first, then I prepare a shiur around it. That's really how my brain works. Today, I don't know, I'm not sure why. My brain wasn't working that way. So I actually tried and I used AI. And I said, give me like 15 punny titles for if you forgot Teicha. They had really good stuff. They had really, really good stuff. Need to remember. Like they had like, really, they had good chaps there. So, I don't know why I was just talking about that. But, so we forgot to take challah, so that's our case. And you're worried that maybe you trafed up your oven because there's a tevel, that's a machlokas, rash and rush. Even the rush might get around it by taking your challah later. Fine, great. Beautiful machlokas, it really helps us understand the concepts. One thing that should trigger halach l'maisa is that 90% of the time you do take challah. What do you do with that challah? You pick a little ball and you put it into the oven to burn it. Which means that if that is definitely trafe. I mean, that's tevel, that's actually challah, right? That's the stuff you're not allowed to eat. So if that touches your oven, that is a problem, right? And we assume that you don't even want the steam or the smoke or whatever, the aroma from that challah to go into your oven. So because of that, the right thing to do is to double wrap or whatever, wrap tightly the challah in tinfoil in order that it shouldn't touch anything in the oven. And that even the steam, the reyach, the aroma, shouldn't escape in a significant form into the oven itself. It happens to be, in terms of reicha, in terms of the aroma of foods, we are mekel b'dieved. We're machmir l'chatchila, which means you do want to wrap it, you do want to make sure it's tightly wrapped. But if it was exposed at one area and you know that steam was going out, we would be mekel on that b'dieved. The truth is that there's room to be mekel on the whole thing b'dieved, because this is complicated. It's going to depend on the oven and the instance, but it could be that if the dough even touches the bottom or the side of the oven gets so hot that it burns out that blia, it self-kashers. That's not so simple, just because you have to know what point in the process it touched the oven. You have to know how significant the chunk was there. It might be, you could look at it, it might be there's still a piece of dough on the floor and it didn't burn it out. So we don't rely on that lichatchila at all, but it's something for b'dieved. You may need to kasher your oven, you may not. So we want to wrap those balls of challah in tinfoil to keep it from touching the oven, keep the blios from going to the oven, also keep the reyach from going to the oven. B'dieved, you'll have to ask the shailas if it ever, we actually had once, it like snuck out. Anyone ever had this? Like, I guess initially when you're burning it, it first bakes, right? That makes sense. So it like expanded a lot and it snaked out of the tinfoil. Oh, crazy. Like wrapped itself around the rack. So whatever, if you have those types of issues, you have to ask the Shaila. But it's this point just in the normal case. The normal case is where you actually have challah in your oven. So you want to protect your oven from becoming trey from that as well. Yeah. So for the rush, you have to think that maybe there's an issue of tevel, then maybe there's going to be an issue of trafing the oven as well if a person forgot to take the challah.
Is it the same issue as the backwards, forwards thing with the brera, with the oven? Let's say you then made some other food. Is that also trafe until...
Right.
But you already ate that.
Right.
Like, it's just so complicated.
Yeah, it could be complicated. I don't know how to answer that question off the bat, but I hear what you're saying, and it seems like the answer would be yes in theory, that you'd have to, everything would be, it'd be a domino effect of everything.
Yeah.
It sounds like it, but in theory it sounds like it. I'm not equipped to actually answer it, but in theory it sounds like that. The Ramah, the Shach, the Magen Avraham, the Taz, they all seem to side with the Rush that Chalas Chutz La'aretz is Tovel, which means that it does become, you know, a level of treif. So again, whatever the nafkaminas may be, are worth discussing. We might get out of it with the Lemafreya thing, but it's important to then take the challah. The Ramah discusses an interesting case, which kind of proves the point that he may assume like the Rush. You have it in source number 7. The Rama talks about a case. This case comes up all the time in Hilchos Shabbos, Pashtida. Whenever you learn Hilchos Shabbos, this is like the dish that the choice that the Rama, the Shulchan Aruch, are talking about. Pashtida is like, it's like sort of like a meat, I don't know, like a knish, something similar to like an empanada. I think that they have a food called empanada though in the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah, but this is something similar to that, like a knish with meat in it. So it's dough and meat, meat pocket, something like that. So let's say you have a meat pocket, a meat knish, that you forgot to take challah from the dough part. So the Ramah here tries to figure out a way. Ho'ofa pashtita mi'isa shaluhur machalasi. You didn't take challah uvesocha basar, and you have meat inside of that dough. Mutter lahafresh me'isa acheres hachayevus b'challah alzo. So you're allowed to take challah from a different batch of dough on this challah, right, on behalf of this challah. Now listen to these words. V'niftar gam kein tam ha'isa ha'nichnas b'basar. And by doing so, what else do you achieve? There's two issues here that you want to fix. One issue you want to fix is that the dough hasn't had challah taken from it. The second issue you want to fix is that the meat is being cooked in dough that didn't have challah taken from it. So the meat has the belios, has the ta'am, the taste of the non-challah dough sticking into the meat. By taking challah on a different piece of bread, you'll accomplish both things. What do you see from the Ramah? Clearly he thinks the dough is tevel, is treif, and it would impact, it would affect, it would contaminate the meat that's inside. So therefore the Ramah is clearly assuming like the Rush. We're out of time, but just one interesting halacha. If a person forgets to take challah and remembers after lighting candles, but Bein Hashmashos, so it's still, not Bein Hashmashos, sorry, pre-Shabbos, Tosef Shabbos. So you take in Shabbos 18 minutes, 20 minutes. Some people do 30 minutes. It's good to try to do 30 minutes before Shabbos. So you take in Shabbos 30 minutes before Shabbos, and you say, oh boy, I forgot to take challah. You can't take challah now because you took in Shabbos, right? So you could either eat and wait until after Shabbos, or better is you can call your Jewish neighbor. You can't ask a guy for two reasons. One, you're not supposed to ask a guy before in Tosef Shabbos to do a malacha for you. Two is a guy can't take challah for you. So it doesn't help, but regardless. But you'd ask a Jewish neighbor to come over and be mafresh challah for you, and you can save the challah without this whole trick of eating and waiting until after Shabbos by having a Jew do it for you during that time of Kodem Shabbos, of Tosef Shabbos. The interesting question, the post-kim debate, which is not clear to me what the answer is, but it's a good question, is do you get to make the bracha then? If someone else is doing the challah on your behalf, do you get to make the bracha? So you have to do more research on that. It seems to be machlokas in the achronim, a safik in the achronim. But either way, you'd have an eitzah, you'd have a piece of advice of how to, it could happen. You'll remember right after candle lighting, so you'll have a way out of the issue by asking your Jewish neighbor who didn't take in Shabbos yet to take the challah for you. Okay, we'll stop here. Next week, we do not have shir.